Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'll need the cup. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 6, Chapter entitled, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Chapter entitled, Yamaraj Instructs His Messengers, text number 29. Jivana Vakti Bhagavad Guna Namadeyam. Chetascha nasmarati tachcharanaravindam. Krishnaya noma namati yachchira ekadapi. Tan anayadvam asato krita vishnu krityan. Jiva Navakti Bhagavad Guna Namadeyam. Chetas Chadnasmarati Tach Charanaravindam. Krishnaya Nona Mati Yach Chira Ekadapi. Tan anayadvam asato krita vishnu krityan. Jivana vakti bhagavad guna namadeyam. Chetascha nasmarati tachcharanaravindam. Krishnaya nom namati yachchira ekadapi. Tan anayadvam asato krita vishnu krityan. Na, not. Smarati, remembers. Tat, his. Charanaravindam, lotus feet. Krishnaya, unto Lord Krishna, through his deity in the temple. No, not. Namati, bows. Yat, whose. Shira, head. Ekada, api, even once. Give this maybe not quite so. Maybe just turn down a little bit. If possible, because it's very well. That's not too bad. Yeah, just not too. Well. Yat. Whose? Shira, head. Ekada, api, even once. Tan, them. Anada, Anayadvam, bring before me. Asata, the non-devotees. Akrita, not performing. Vishnu Krityan, duties towards Lord Vishnu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. My dear servants, please bring to me only those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name and qualities of Krishna, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet of Krishna even once, and whose heads did not bow down even before, even once before Lord Krishna. Send me those who do not perform their duties toward Vishnu, which are the only duties in human life. Please bring me all such fools and rascals. Translation responsibly. My dear servants, please bring to me only those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name and qualities of Krishna, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet of Krishna even once, and whose heads do not bow down even once before Lord Krishna. Send me those who do not perform their duties toward Vishnu, which are the only duties in human life. Please bring me all such fools and rascals. Purport. The word Vishnu, Krityan, is very important in this verse because the purpose of human life is to please Lord Vishnu. Varnashram Dharma is also meant for that purpose, as stated in the Vishnu Purana. Human society is meant to follow strictly the Varnashram Dharma, which divides human society into four social divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. And four spiritual divisions, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Varnashram Dharma easily brings one nearer to Lord Vishnu, who is the only true object of human society. Nate vidu swarta gatim hi vishnum. Unfortunately, however, people do not know that their self-interest is to return home back to Godhead or to approach Lord Vishnu. Durashaya, ye bahir ata manina. Instead, they are simply bewildered. Every human being is expected to perform duties meant for approaching Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Yamaraj advises the Yamadutas to bring him those persons who have forgotten their duties toward Vishnu. Akrita Vishnu Krityan. One who does not chant the holy name of Vishnu, Krishna, who does not bow down to the deity of Vishnu, and who does not remember the lotus feet of Vishnu, is punishable by Yamaraj. In summary, all are Vaishnavas. Persons unconcerned with Lord Vishnu are punishable by Yamaraj. Omigyan Timanandasya Genanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mulitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vancha Kaupa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. So people are meant to serve Krishna. That is the point of human life. Turn it up. Okay. Is that better? Turn it up now. Is that good? Can't hear. Very soft. Is that better? Better? Okay. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. Welcome to Hare Krishna Melbourne. So, people are meant to use the human form of life to serve Krishna. If you don't use your human life to serve Krishna, you are dvipada pashu, which means you're a two-legged animal. So you have to use your human life to serve Krishna. Otherwise, you are just like a cat or a dog, or a monkey, or an aardvark, or an armadillo. If you don't use your human life to serve Krishna. So how does one become human? Now, you become human when you begin to follow Varnashram Dharma. We have to follow... Varnashram Dharma means a regulated system. There are the... In the Varnashram system, you have Brahmana, you have Kshatriya, you have Vaishya, you have Shudra. Now, even Shudra is regulated. Right? That's why they're part of the Varnashram system. But if you live your life unregulated, then you're not even part of Varnashram system. Then you are a dvipada pashu, you are an animal. Or you're an uncultured, uncivilized person. Just like you see in the Bhagavatam, it mentions Pulinda, Kasa, Malecha, Yavana. Now, these different types of uncivilized races. And they're on the earth right now, uncivilized. What does it mean to be uncivilized? It means you don't follow regulations. Now, you're human, but you're not following regulations. You can eat whatever you want. You can drink whatever you want. They have sex whenever they want. All these things, it's unregulated. That is not human life. Prabhupada said human life, or the Bhagavatam says, and Prabhupada, the Vedas say, Prabhupada says, human life begins when you begin to regulate the senses. Then you become a human being. And then you can make advancement in spiritual life. So Rupa Goswami teaches us in the Upadeshamrita, which we Prabhupada has translated as Nectar of Instruction. So in the Nectar of Instruction, the first three verses are the guidelines or the framework to performing sadhana, right? To performing bhajan. Right? So what does the first verse discuss? The vegans. Vacho vegan, manasa krodha vegan, jiva vegan, udara pasta vegan. It discusses the vegans. Vegans means urges. Right? There are, in human life, right, there are urges. Right? In all life forms, there are urges. Right? But to become a civilized human or a member of Varnashram system, then you have to begin to control the urges. If you don't control the urges, right, then you cannot progress spiritually. That's why Rupa Goswami says, the first thing he says, control the urges. Become a Goswami. What is a Goswami? Go means your senses. Swami means master. If you can't control your senses, you can't make progress in spiritual life. You can't go back home, back to Godhead. So therefore, you have to control your senses. Right? When you control, then you make progress in spiritual life. Otherwise, it is superficial or artificial or pseudo-spirituality. It's not real spirituality. So many people these days, in this modern Kali Yuga, in this modern age, they're pseudo-spiritualists. They pretend they are spiritual, but they cannot even control the senses. If you're not controlling the senses, you're not a true spiritualist. And then we have had many... When Prabhupada came to America... Many gurus came from the East also. Right? 1969, Time magazine, they have their annual publication. 1969, they called it the Year of the Guru. So many came. Prabhupada came, and then you had Rajneesh, and you had Sai Baba, and you had, you know, so many different gurus were coming. So many gurus. But some of them were teaching that you can have unregulated sex life. And by having unregulated sex life, you can let go of that desire and then you can transcend. That is generally not what is recommended, right, in the Varnashram system, in the Vedic system. You have to learn to control your senses. And Prabhupada was amazing, actually. Because when Prabhupada arrived in America, Prabhupada came in the 60s, right? The 60s were a very hedonistic time, right? Very hedonistic time. People doing everything. Have you seen, if you look on YouTube, have you seen the first Ratha Yatra ever in San Francisco? Right, this is 1967. Right? First Ratha Yatra ever. It was on the back of a flatbed truck. Right? So, you know, like a flatbed truck, right? Like a Ford trucker. And Jagannath Balaram Subhadra are facing like the three directions. Right? There's the first Ratha Yatra ever. And if you look and you see, and people are dancing, some hippies are there and they're dancing, and devotees, and some of the ladies are almost half naked. Right? A very unregulated system. This is how Prabhupada began the movement. Right? They were dancing on the street. They were complete hippies, unregulated. So what is amazing is that Prabhupada came at the most hedonistic time in modern civilization, and he walks in and he says, okay, no illicit sex, no intoxication. Everyone was taking intoxication. No gambling and no eating of meat. This is amazing. Right? Because he's come at the time when those things were the most prominent. And he said, now you have to stop those things, control your senses, and now go to a higher level of consciousness. Right? It's very amazing what Prabhupada did. Right? Because it shows it is a genuine spiritual path. Because the only way you can get people to stop those things is if they are experiencing param drishtva, nivartati. You have to experience a higher taste, a superior pleasure. Otherwise, not possible to give up those things. One time, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, one magician came. And he was showing some tricks. So he came into Prabhupada's room and he was showing tricks. He was doing some magic. So at one point in the magic show, he came up close to Prabhupada and he had a coin. And he got the coin and he went close to Prabhupada and pulls it out from behind Prabhupada's ear, like magic. You know, there's nothing there, and then suddenly pulls a coin out. So then Prabhupada became serious. He became sober. He said, what is your magic? Huh? And then the magician said to Prabhupada, then Swamiji, maybe show us your magic. Prabhupada said, this is my magic. I'm turning the hippies into happies. I'm stopping them from following the course of the animals. And I am making them into devotees, Vaishnavas, Vaishnava Bas. So this is Prabhupada's power, his potency. So as he explains here, you can't make advancement in spiritual life if you cannot control your senses. That's what's first. Rupa Goswami says, first, control your senses. Then secondly, in the second verse he says, there are six things you have to give up. Right? Which are pratikul, detrimental to devotional service. And the third verse, he said, now there are six things that you need to do if you want to go back to Godhead. This is the secret of bhajan. This is the secret of sadhana, these first three verses. You have to become expert in these first three verses of the Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction. Six urges you have to control, that's the first thing. If you don't control them, you can't make advancement. Then, six things that you have to give up, and then six things that you have to employ in Krishna service. Then you will make advancement in your spiritual life. So it is saying here that the Varnashram system is what human beings need to follow. Now how do you know which Varna you're in? Are you a Brahmana? Are you a Kshatriya? Are you a Vaishya or are you a Sudra? Do you know what you are? Hey, people don't even know what they are. It's Kali Yuga. We don't even know what we are. In Kali Yuga, it's not so important. You just need to have a general idea. That's all. But you don't need to be You know, in the temple, we don't walk around and say, oh, there's the Sudra. Right? There's a Brahmana. Right? Here is a Kshatriya. Right? Oh, he is a Vaishnava. We don't say like that. You know, we never say about devotees. Sometimes I've heard devotees say, I am Brahmana. I am Brahmana. Yeah, a little proud. I am Brahmana. Yeah, okay. Something. Something is there. But actually, Prabhupada never said like that. He never said like, oh, this one is the Brahmana, that one is the we have a general understanding. In Kali Yuga, it's more important to just become a good devotee. Right? And Varnashram is there. There's some like supports it and something is there, but you're not going to have pure Varnashram in Kali Yuga. That's why Rupa Goswami does not speak about Varnashram, the nectar of devotion, as an anga of bhakti. Right? You cannot be pure. But we can have a general understanding. Jiva Goswami explains to us, generally we can understand. If you analyze why you became a devotee, why did you become a devotee? If you analyze, yes, Mataji. Very good. Very good. So this means you were inquisitive. Yeah, because Krishna says in the Gita, there are four reasons why you come to devotional service. One is you are suffering. One is you want something, well, first something material, right? Third is you are inquisitive. And fourth is you want knowledge. Jnana, right? What's that? That was the first one. Yeah, I said that. Yeah. So Jiva Goswami says, okay, if you look at those four, you can see why you came to bhakti, why you came to devotional service. You can understand something about your varna. Because shudras come because they are suffering. That's why I came to devotional service. I was suffering, so then I took to devotional service. Right? That is why the shudras come. Then, why do the vaishyas come? They want something. Yeah, they need some money. So they come to God. Oh, please give me my daily bread and a Mercedes and a helicopter and a jacuzzi and two houses in Albert Park. No? Yeah, please. people come because they want something. That is, means you're Vaishya. If you're coming because you're... If you're inquisitive, this is like Kshatriya. Kshatriya is like inquisitive. Oh, Kshatriya is always asking. You know, like a policeman is a Kshatriya. Always asking questions. They're inquisitive. What are you doing? Why are you here? Huh? What were you doing yesterday? What's in your bag? What's in that bag you carry around your neck? Here's a Kshatriya, always asking questions. Right? Inquisitive. Right? And then Brahmana, he wants knowledge. Let me understand the absolute truth. So then you can understand a little bit about yourself. Which varna you're in, like that. So this is Varnashram Dharma. We have some basic understanding, right? Basically, we understand something about our varna. You know, we like to do particular service. We like to teach and preach. That means like more Brahminical service. You're managing, right? That is like Kshatriya service. You're making money for Krishna. That is like Vaishya service. You are just doing any service for Krishna. That is like Shudra service, right? Yep. Yes, madam. True. Yeah, you generally see all of us have our main kind of energy, or the main way we like to serve Krishna. But in Kali Yuga, sometimes we do multiple servers, as Mataji is saying. You know, sometimes you have to preach, and then you have to manage, and then you have to clean the toilets, and then you have to organize some money for you doing everything. Right? That's why in Kali Yuga we don't concentrate so much on Varnashrama. So first there is the Varna, and secondly there is the Ashrama. Ashramas are more important in Kali Yuga, right? More important than the Varna. You need the ashram. Right? So in we have four ashrams, which are there in ISKCON. We have brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. Interesting, because there was no such thing as brahmacharini. If you look in the Vedic literatures, the word does not exist. Prabhupada was the first one to create the brahmacharini ashram. Because Prabhupada was in, he is the samstaka acharya, which means founder acharya. A founder acharya can implement things or introduce things which are still in accordance or in alignment with the Vedic system, which may not have been there before. So now we have brahmacharinis. That wasn't there previously. The women, previously, up until Prabhupada's time, they also did not take what we call Brahman initiation, or what we call Vaishnav Diksha. That was not there prior to Prabhupada. But then Prabhupada, he introduced this. He saw that the women, they wanted that opportunity, so then he also did that. This was not there before Prabhupada's time. Right? This is the first time in history that the women have received Diksha, Vaishnav Diksha. It's the first time in history that we've had brahmacharinis. So these are things which Prabhupada has brought in. So brahmachari, brahmacharini, that is there in our ISKCON. Right? And then we have grihasta, which is the vast majority of our movement. What makes you a grihasta? A grihasta means when you regulate your senses, then you're a grihasta. Right? Otherwise, you're a grihamedhi. Grihamedhi means a sense enjoyer. Right? You're just trying to enjoy your senses materially. But when you control the senses, then you become a grihasta, and then you advance in devotional service. And then we have vanaprastas. Vanaprasta means husband and wife stay together, but they're older now. They're in the second half of their life. The material responsibilities are less, and they stay together, and they try to spread Krishna consciousness. So you would see like Sankarshan Prabhu and his wife Vishnupriya, Burujan Prabhu, Mother Jagatarini, persons like that. This is like a vanaprastha situation. And then you have sannyasis, right? We have in ISKCON, we also have sannyas. That ashram is there. So the ashram is more important in Kali Yuga. Now, even though we're in ashrams and we follow ashrams, and we have to follow ashrams as long as we're conditioned, ultimately, what is most important is that we practice devotional service, we practice bhakti. Because regardless of which ashram you're in, what will attract Krishna is your sincerity in devotional service. So, the most important thing, as is being explained here, because Yamaraj is speaking to the Yamadutas. Hands up if you're worried about seeing the Yamadutas. One, two. Anyone else? You're worried? Three? You're worried about seeing the Yamadutas. Four? Some of the kids are worried. As devotees, we don't have to be worried. The Yamadutas don't come near us. Right? Because we're following the path of devotional service. And Yamaraj is directly instructing them here in this part of the Bhagavatam that you don't have to worry about the devotees, he says to the Yamadutas. Just leave them alone. Right? They're spiritually perfect. They're practicing devotional service, or they're focusing on devotional activities. You don't need to deal with them. So the devotees are exempt from having to deal with the Yamadutas. So here, Yamaraj is saying, the devotees are focusing on chanting the holy name. They're chanting, they're focusing on devotional service. So as long as you chant the holy name purely, right, with sincerity, that is the main anga of bhakti in the Kali Yuga. Right? As Prabhupada explains in the 8th chapter of the first canto, in the prayers of Queen Kunti, Prabhupada said, there is a quality to the chanting. The chanting needs to have a certain quality. And we were explaining this yesterday on Lord Nityananda's appearance. Your chanting needs to have a certain quality in order to attract Krishna. Because who is Lord Nityananda Prabhu? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Lord Nityananda is the he is in charge of the marketplace of the holy name. So if you want to buy some sabji now for the temple, you have to get vegetables. You have to go to the market, right? Out at Epping. Right? Is that where it is now? Yeah, Epping Market. A huge market out there. All the trucks come in every morning, right? Huge market. It's massive. And then trucks come in, everyone buys their veggies, their sabji, put it in the back, and then they take it all over Melbourne to the different places. So it's the marketplace. So when you go to the marketplace, if you want to buy the sabji, you have to give something in exchange. You can't just walk in and say, okay, I'm just taking all the pumpkins. I say, hey, give me some money. You have to exchange something. So similarly, in the marketplace of the holy name, Lord Nityananda is selling the holy name of Krishna. Right? He is giving it to us. Hey, you want the holy name? Hands up if you want the holy name. Some people. Some people are asleep. They do not want the holy name. Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra, Bole. Lord Chaitanya says, wake up, sleeping souls. Wake up, sleeping souls. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? Right? So if we want the holy name, you have to pay the price. Now, Nityananda Prabhu is selling the holy name, but what is the price? The price is Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. So how much faith do you have? Because there are 9 levels of bhakti. The first is Shraddha, right? Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi Asakti, Bhava Prema. These are the 9 levels of bhakti. Now, how do we know which level we are on? Or if I ask you which level you are on, what will you say? Which one? Neophyte, yeah, but the 9 levels. The 9 levels, yeah. Which one are we? Right? Shraddha means faith, right? We have faith. Sadhu Sangha is the 2nd level. Okay, I have faith. I should associate with devotees. I should be around devotees of Krishna. That will help me in my spiritual life. Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya means when you're around the devotees, what do the devotees do? They say, Prabhu, can you do some service? That's called Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya means, Kriya actually means force. Right? Kriya means force, like energy. Right? Force. So Bhajana Kriya, the devotees say, Haribol, please do some service. Right? A little bit of energy required, like Prabhupada would do. Right? The first time Prabhupada met Prabhavishnu Prabhu, he used to be our GBC here in Australia. First time, after 3 days, Prabhupada said, go and open a temple. Right? Imagine you join the temple, you've been here for 3 days, and Aniruddha Prabhu says, go and open a temple, go to Tasmania, open a temple. After 3 days. What's that? Yeah, I think these days we give people a bit more training. In Werribee? Yeah, there's a lot of devotees, a lot of bhakti friksha in Werribee. A lot of home programs. Yeah, maybe we need a temple, maybe. That can be discussed both ways. Can be discussed both ways. But yeah, Lord Chaitanya did want temples everywhere. That was his instruction. So, this is Bhajana Kriya. Right? Devotees engage you in bhakti. Right? Then when you perform bhajana devotional service, what happens? Anatta Nivritti. That's the platform that most of us are on. Anatta Nivritti means you begin to get rid of the material desires in your heart, in your consciousness. All the material things are taken out. This is the process of bhakti. And then when the material things begin to disappear, you become nishta. Nishta means steady, right? Fixed. Now you don't go up and down anymore. Right? Sometimes devotees go up and down. Oh, I'm enthusiastic, now I'm not. I want to serve Krishna, now I don't. No, nishta is steady. And then when you become nishta, when you become steady, then you develop ruchi, which means taste. I just want to serve Krishna. I don't want anything else. Then asakti, you become attached to Krishna, right? I only think of Krishna. I only want to serve him, right? And then bhava. Bhava means I have emotion. Right? I want to serve him now, but not just serve him. I want to serve him with a particular mood. You know, this is called rasa. Right? So I want to serve him with bhava, which means as a friend or as a lover or as a parent. That you have that mood. And then that develops into prema. Prema means love. Where now I am just serving Krishna only in this eternal position. So Lord Nityananda says that he will give us the holy name, but we have to pay with faith, Shraddha. Now, how much faith we have determines which level of bhakti we are on. So anatta nivritti, if you're still struggling with your anattas, with your material desires, that means your faith needs to be increased because you have faith in your material desires. You think, oh, they will make me happy. That's why they're material. That's why they're in our heart. Why do they stay there? Oh, if I do this, if I follow this material desire, it will make me happy. That's why we keep the desires in our heart. That means we don't have enough faith that it will not make me happy. We don't have enough faith that actually serving Krishna will make me happy. So when your faith increases and you get rid of many of those material desires, that is called nishtha. That's when you become very steady. Because the material desires are still there, but you just look at them and say, okay, that's okay, but I'll keep serving Krishna. Okay? And then as you become more advanced, the material desires actually disappear altogether. And then you get to prema, like Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada is on the level of prema bhakti. There are no material desires. Because all you want to do is serve Krishna eternally in Goloka Vrindavan, spiritual world. Look after Krishna every day in his service. Yeah. So this is the platform now that we're meant to. So Lord Nityananda is selling us the holy name. But how much holy name can you buy? Depends how much faith you have. If you have complete faith, he'll give you all the holy name. Then you will chant in ecstasy, Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, everything coming from heart, nothing else, only spiritual life. So if you chant like this, Yamaraj will not touch you. So in Kali Yuga, we don't worry about Varnashram so much. Varna is there, but we don't so much worry about it. Oh, am I a Brahmana? You know, I don't wake up in the morning and think, am I a Brahmana? Am I a Kshatriya? Am I a Vaishya? Am I a Sudra? You know, we don't think like that. When you wake up in the morning, also your ashram is not the main thing we think about. We don't think, oh, I am a grihastha, I have to do all my grihastha duties. That is like part of our life, but it is not the main focus of our life. Our main focus when we wake up in the morning is, how can I serve Krishna today? What can I do to make Krishna happy today? How can I spread Krishna consciousness in this world today? How can I make everyone in Melbourne have Mahaprasad? No. Everyone in Melbourne take Mahaprasad. Everyone in Melbourne hear the holy name. Everyone in Melbourne have full set of Prabhupada's books instead of their television. Well, imagine that, if we could bring the movement to that level. So we have a lot of work to do. Good luck to all of you. Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. Any questions or comments in this material world? Yes, Mataji.
What would you recommend to the devotee?
Maybe just say the question again so people can...
Okay. Well, here we've got on the verse. Send me those who do not perform their duties towards Vishnu, which are the only duties in human life. Please bring jewels and rascals. So, as devotees, we fools and rascals, right? And encourage them to somehow or other get Krishna. But we are going up and down in our spiritual life until we come to the point of getting that taste. Then we want to get up from Mangalati. We relish it so much. Even if we go to sleep a little bit late, we'll still get up and come to Mangalati. We have a taste for chanting our rounds. So instead of just getting up, you know, 1 minute before four, getting ourselves down here and racing down to the temple, we get the desire to be able to chant rounds before Mangalati. And all those things make us very strong. And so when we go out on Harinam, or when wherever we go, we somehow or rather meet people and they become attracted to us. They see us in sari, they see us in devotional clothes. Sometimes the men, they can't wear the dhoti when they're going out, but they wear a kurta. And the people will say, "Oh, why do you wear these clothes?" And I this is an experience myself. You say, "Well, I'm a Krishna." And immediately the man says, "Oh, Govindas," right? And then he said, "If you don't mind me asking, why do you have that sign on your nose?" And I said to him that this means this body is a temple of God. And he said, "Wow, that's understandable." So Srila Prabhupada, he's told us that when the people see us dressed in devotional clothes, that reminds them of Krishna. Right? So what other things do you think that we can do to attract these fools and rascals and help to free them from this conditioned life? What are the things you think can attract people? Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So then we have to become, Prabhupada says you have to wrap your brain. Wrap your brain of new ways to distribute the sadhana, distribute books, and distribute the whole thing. So I would encourage you to that.
Yes. Is there one who's asking you?
The first thing we need to do is we have to think of new ways to do things. So I moved to Hare Krishna Valley about 15 years ago. So the first thing I did, I got the council to put up a sign, you know, tourist signs on either side of the entrance of our farm. So when people are coming from either direction, it says Hare Krishna Valley. So tens of thousands of people are driving past that sign, right, every year. Hundreds of thousands of people are driving past, and they're saying, "Hare Krishna, Hare." So the holy name is being preached. So I don't have to go on Harinam necessarily. I create Harinam, but it's getting the council to put up signboards, right? And then it's there. So that's one way to distribute the holy name. So Prabhupada said, rack your brain. How does that? And then prasadam distribution. There's so many ways we can distribute prasadam, right? Just like when COVID happened, all our restaurants shut. Right, our farm shut. People couldn't come to the farm. So what do we do? I said to the devotees, "Okay, we need to make money because, you know, our retreats are stopping. We're not making money." So then one devotee said, "Oh, the local people, some people are the restaurants and so forth. They're cooking takeaway and people are coming in takeaway." So then for 6-9 months, or I think you've been doing for longer here, then we start a new way of distributing prasadam. So we cook at the farm, then we take it to some of the local places. And then people would drive down, they'd order online, they'd pick up the prasadam. So rack your brain, new ways to distribute, right? And then distributing Prabhupada's books, right? COVID happened, right? So now devotees can't go on the street, can't distribute books. So the Vaishya Prabhu in America, you know, he's in charge of book distribution around the world. So he thought, okay, let's rack our brains. How can we distribute? So then in December, just gone, when COVID was still happening around the world, they distributed 2 million Bhagavad Gitas in December, 1 month, right? 2 million Bhagavad Gitas, because they just went online, right? Then just ring people, they're cold calling people. You know, they're doing all sorts of things. Rack your brain how we can spread the movement. Indradyumna Swami does festivals, right? And yesterday, what day is it? 2 days ago, down at St. Kilda, we did a festival in the park. You know, people come. When they come to, what do they do when they come to the festival? They get the holy name, they get prasadam, and they get books. It's the same thing, But we just have to rack our brain different ways to present Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
Another thing we can add to it is kindness. Srila Prabhupada taught us, kill with kindness. And see, people see you, they might not think you're a devotee, but you're just kind, you're nice. Prabhupada said, if the man has a dog, and you be nice to the dog, that a man will love you forever. If the man has children, and you speak to them, oh, look at your little child, so beautiful, then that person will always remember you. And so kindness is a very important thing. And I use an example of myself. I was in Darwin for 15 years, like you on the farm for 15 years. And, you know, I did so many things. I went to markets, always dressed like a devotee. After the first year I was there, I was coming here for the reunion for Srila Prabhupada's 100th year anniversary. And one of the ladies from the market, she gave me a lift. And she said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to a reunion. And she said, you're coming back, aren't you? And I said, yes. She said, good, because you're our Hare Krishna lady. So they've known me as that, the Hare Krishna lady. Anyway, so I stayed there for 15 years, but I never had any devotees there to help me. Just on occasion, some devotees had come. And after 15 years, I was kind of a little distraught, and I cried to Krishna, please, won't you send me some devotees? But no one can. So I left there after 15 years, and I came back. I went to, I've been here in Queensland, right? And then I was here out at Bendigo. I lived in a church, and it used to get very cold in the winter, and I can't take cold. My body doesn't like it. And I said, I have to go away for the winter, right? And there came an advertisement in the paper for the house that we used to own in Darwin. It came for rent. And I thought to myself, I should go back there. Anyway, so I drove all the way from Melbourne up to Darwin by myself. And I rented that house and I started the preaching again. It wasn't meant to be that I was to stay there. I never got much acknowledgement from doing there. Nanda Maharaj said, if someone can preach in Darwin, he will become famous all over the world, because it's the most difficult place to preach, because the people are strong meat eaters and strong drinkers. Right? But somehow or other, I was able to do something. And any doubt I had, Krishna dissipated on this trip to Darwin. From the moment I got off the plane, the cleaning lady said, oh, you're back again. Are you going to stay? And I said, yes. And for the whole 8 months, I actually got that. And so I couldn't stay because the economy was shot and I couldn't make enough money to pay the rent even. And the heat was so bad, they had no rain for 2 years. At 72 years old, I couldn't take that heat. I would go out in the morning from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock to get shopping. And then I would stay inside till 7 o'clock at night because the heat was just unbearable. And then I told my children what was happening. They said, no, Mum, you come back. And then 2 weeks later, the pandemic started. And I was in Queensland. Once I was there, people just came up to me daily and said, you're back. Are you coming to stay? You're our Hare Krishna lady. We missed you so much. So even though in the society I wasn't acknowledged for what I did, but put me back there, show me, Rabbi, this is what you did. So you see, with that question about what you can do, doesn't matter how long we are in Krishna consciousness. I was going to ask you that question to inspire the devotees, but actually that question's been answered by my story, that it doesn't matter how long you are in Krishna consciousness, to inspire people to become devotees. And kindness is so amazing. I've been walking around a lake in Bendigo every day, and I get to know so many people. And just from getting to know me and talking to me, the coffee man gives me free hot milk every day. Pastor Roger, when I told him I'm going to stay there and do something, he was so excited. And Lloyd, when he found about my GoFundMe, he gave me $50 and he wrote on it, "To Sarabi Mataji." These people I've only known for 6 weeks, and he said, "And there's more coming." So all these little things, just admiring their dog, just saying something nice to you, "Where are you from?" And in a day, I'm going around that lake and I get 3 or 4 phone numbers from people who are interested that we do something there. So it doesn't have to be big, but these little things attract people to Krishna. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki? Hare Krishna.